Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, figures released today show nearly 22,000 home energy upgrades so far this year. That's up 150% compared to the same time last year. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Dr. Kieran Byrne, who's the Director of National Retrofit at the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. And Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. We've got lots and lots of texts and emails from our listeners in relation to this. If anyone wants to get in touch, 51551, you can email the programme, drivetime@rte.ie. Before we get to some of those queries, you might just look at sort of the overall picture. 150% increase. Is that what you expected, and what do you think of it?
Yes, it is. We're tracking well. And sorry, good evening, Sarah, and hello to you and your listeners. Yeah, we're very pleased with the results. So the figures we released today were the end of the second quarter figures, so Q1 and Q2 of 2023, and we compared them to 150% increases relative to the same period last year. So last year at this time, at the end of June, we would have done 8,700 property upgrades. This year, we've done 21,700, and we're tracking very well to our target of 37,000 upgrades by the end of the year.
So that was going to be my next question. 37,000 is what you are hoping to get by the end of the year. Will you get it, do you think, when you say you're tracking very well to that target?
Well, it's a conservative piece in me. I fully believe that we will, but there's always a potential for a slip between cup and mouth. But the way the numbers are looking at the moment, to have that 150% increase after Q2 and what we're seeing in the application rates coming forward, I fully believe that we'll achieve that target.
Can you break that down for me then in terms of what types of upgrades people are getting? Because, of course, the standard that we're aiming for and the government's 500,000 target by 2030, that's B2.
Yep, that's right. So within that, we have had 7,500 homes up to a B2 rating or higher, which is comparing to last year, the same period last year, there's a 210% increase in the B2 rating. But the individual measures in that homeowners are getting, for example, we have homes that are getting, well, the classic, the insulation, ceiling wall insulation, under the one-stop shop scheme, heat pumps, windows and doors are common measures, and also solar panels are very, very popular, I suppose, at the moment. We've seen a significant increase on the solar panel, the solar PV scheme as well, year on year.
So when you say there's 150% increase, that's including, like, if you get solar panels, you're including that, are you? Or is everything included?
Yeah, it is. It's everything. So the overall figure is everything. And then on the solar, we have individual schemes in as well. So, for example, on the solar scheme, we've had a very significant increase year on year as well in terms of the application. So on the solar PV scheme, we've had a 231% increase on the number of applicants from that. And we went from 2,600 or thereabouts for Q1 and Q2 last year to 8,800 in Q1 and Q2 of this year.
Okay. You know, that's all very positive and it's good to see movement in the right direction. But if I go back to the B or B2, which is really the deep retrofit, it's you get basically everything done. You're airtight almost. Maybe not quite, but close enough to it. You said 7,566 homes upgraded. That is a 210% increase in last year. But if you're aiming for 500,000, 7,566, you know, it's not going to get you there, is it, if that's the way that keeps going?
Well, yeah, I think it's fair to say, yeah, there's a journey to travel, but we're at the start of effectively a decade-long programme to get us up to the 500,000 or B2 rated homes. So we've seen, between year and year, month and month, quarter and quarter, we've seen significant increases on the BERs, the B2 ratings achieved. So yes, there's a long way to go, but we're building the foundations across all of the schemes to deliver significant growth towards the back end of the decade.
How many would need to be done towards the back end of the decade? Because we're in knocking on the door of 2024 now. How many would need to be done over the next 6 years? I'm talking about the BER B2 upgrades now to reach the 500,000 target.
Yeah, well, the typical flight path would be anywhere between 50 and 75,000 B2s per year. And that all depends, it's a cumulative total. So that all depends however well you do at the start, if it means there'll be less done towards the end of the decade. But there is a point, Sarah, as well, just again for your listeners, the B or B2 rating is about the energy efficiency of the home. And so when you look at a home, at a B or B2, and your listeners will be familiar with the coloured rating in their homes, that's a home that has a rating of 100 kilowatts per meter squared per year. If you take a home that's a G-rated home, which is the worst performing home, which is over 450, and you bring it up to a C3, which is 200. So you've knocked off 250 kilowatts per meter squared per year in the energy performance. You don't get a B2, but you've significantly improved the energy performance of the home. So what we're trying to do is blend that target. So the B2 is a very binary black and white target. So if you take a home that's a B3, which is 125, and you get it to a B2, which is 100, you improve it by 25 kilowatts per meter squared per year. Whereas a G to a C3 delivers a lot more carbon savings. So it's a bit more nuanced than just the black and white B2.
I understand the point that you're making, that it is more nuanced. And the older homes, if you do, you know, simple things to them and sometimes not that awfully costly things to them, you can really improve their performance. And that's good for everybody, the environment and the owner and all that. But just if we can go back to those black and white terms and the targets just for 1 second, because the targets are set and they are all part of our legally binding climate targets that we need to reach. I think you said we need to do, did you say 50,000, 57,000 a year?
Anywhere between 50 and 75, you can profile it. It depends on how good we're tracking.
Okay, so how are we tracking? Where are we at? How many do we need to do every year between now and 2030 to reach the target?
Well, our sectoral target up to the end of 2025 is 120,000 B2s and our cost up B2 equivalents.
Okay. And how many have we done?
We've got by the end of this year, we'll have probably heading around the 25,000-30,000 mark cumulatively from 2019. But there's an important point to us here.
Just 1 second. That would mean we'd need to do 90,000 next year to reach our mid-decade target.
No, between the end of 24 and 25. You're looking probably closer towards 40,000 each year. But just to be very clear with you.
Just to be clear again, we were 8,000 last year, or this year, is it? 8,000 this year? We'd need to 40,000 next year and 40,000 the following year.
Well, we're at our target this year is 13,700, and we're on track to reach that and possibly exceed in terms of B2s. But the point I want to make was the sectoral emission ceiling is about carbon dioxide emission reduction, not specifically B2. So the target is to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide that's been emitted from the residential sector.
Okay, we're not going to reach those targets, are we, Ciarán?
Well, I think we believe that we are, because we're putting all the systems in place. When you see the kind of growth in schemes and you've seen the quarterly growth and the year-on-year growth, we're at the start of it. There's no doubt we're at the start of it, and we have a significant flight path ahead of us. But, you know, it's incumbent on us to do all that we can, and we are, and you can see that in the figures that we're bringing forward.
Yeah, you know, things are definitely getting better, you know, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm also trying to be realistic, you know.
I suppose all I can say is that we've had significant year-on-year growth. We're tracking very well midway through our targets to achieve them, and we think we will. And I would encourage, by the way, and you mentioned earlier on about the bigger homes, I'd encourage everybody to start their journey, because we're at a funny time of the year. Kids have just started back to school. The seasons will change. Even simple things like attic and cavity insulation will make a significant difference to the performance of your home.
All right. A couple of texts and queries in relation to this. One person says, does the one-stop shop model allow the homeowner to do other house improvements simultaneously, such as extensions and new bathrooms, etc.?
Yes, it is. And we're building into that. So what we've seen, a lot of the one-stop shop projects have been joined in with extensions and other renovations as well. So we fund the energy improvement part of it. And our one-stop shops are now building competency around working with builders and things like that and architects to join the two projects together.
Another person says, all I need is a new boiler and windows. I talked to the man, I was told it would cost around 40,000 all in for new boilers and windows for the one-stop shop. I'm coming up to 66. I didn't have central heating last year and I won't have it again this year. Is there anything at all available for just boiler and windows? That comes from Terence.
Well, there's no boiler grant available from the SEI at the moment, so I'm not sure who he was talking to. So the old rule of thumb, I dare say, is to shop around. That sounds like, I have no details about exactly what he asked for and who he asked it from, but I would encourage that listener to shop around.
I suppose the shopping round is sort of limited, is it, because of the one-stop shop? Again, we have this person here saying, we retrofitted our house last year. We spoke to many contractors to get quotes, but most were not approved by the SEAI, as they said it was far too bureaucratic and time-consuming. Those that were approved were far more expensive. We only ended up getting the grant for the heat pump because the plumber was approved. BER assessor says this person already need to assess the house before and after for grant approval. So why then do installers also need to be approved? It's limiting the pool of contractors, therefore the competition, and therefore it's making approved retrofits more expensive and slower.
Okay, well, that's quite the question.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it's an interesting point.
It is, It is an interesting point, but like I said, on our schemes, on our individual grant schemes, we've nearly over 1,400 contractors approved. And like, just to be very clear with your listeners, the reason they're approved is that we have set standards. So they're working to a particular set of standards in terms of how they deliver the retrofit. So that's something we say, and we'll see it. I think your listeners are probably familiar in the context of the electrical installers and gas installers. They're approved, and there's an approval process put in for a reason. Seeing anything about unapproved contractors, but we see the when retrofits go wrong, we see them, we know what happens. We have standards, we have a quality system, we have an inspection system, and that's why we approve our contractors.
And do you know whether or not that person's correct when they say that contractors who are not approved are less expensive than contractors that are?
I can't comment on that, unfortunately, as you can appreciate. I don't know exactly what the price individual contractor might charge for a job. Yeah. What I can say is we put the approval process in place. We know what the grants are. We have a sense of it. I can't specifically say in relation to any individual contractor whether they are less or more expensive.
Because you see, you can see what could happen there is that a contractor will say, okay, I'll go off and get my approval, and then people will get their grant, so I'm just going to build that grant into my price because they have to come to me or they have to come to one of the other approved people, so they can factor that into their price and knock it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't really comment on that, to be honest, because the scheme, the individual measure scheme, has gone around for a very long time now, and we have the approval in place since about 2009 when we set up the scheme in the first place. So, and the grants are there. You know, that's, I suppose, the question you're really getting to is a wider question about grants and inflation generally, and that, in a sense, happens across the board. I recall at a time when they put up the childcare grants, the complaints were that the price of childcare went up by the price of the grant. You know, that we have the way we avoid that is having a very wide footprint in terms of contractors and be very clear on what our grants are so people know what they should be getting.
Another person says, I had a deep retrofit done on my house in 2019. I'm still dealing with issues in relation to air tightness and high energy bills, and I'd recommend being very cautious about spending on retrofitting. Now, that person might be, as you say, Kieran, they might have used somebody who wasn't approved and therefore have had problems as a result of that. But just more generally, I know there's been articles in the paper, even just, I think, this week, talking about how sometimes the savings that you expect from retrofitting might not be quite exactly what was advertised. You know, it's good, but maybe not that good.
Well, I suppose nobody that I'm aware of has ever advertised specific savings. And here's a really interesting point for your listeners. When we do the building energy rating in a home, that's just the asset rating of the home. It's almost agnostic as if there's people are in it or not. What actually happens then is how individuals use your home. So if you think about your listener, they live in a three semi or whatever, their next door neighbour might have three or four or five people in the house, and they might use that home in a completely different way than you use yours in terms of how they leave the lights on, they leave the doors on, what temperature they heat the home at. So to be yours kind of the pre-human intervention piece of it and says this is what the home should perform at. How it actually performs depends on how it's used.
Okay, yeah, indeed. Actually, one of the articles that I'm thinking of mentioned that sometimes when people get their homes retrofitted, they then keep them warmer than they would have done maybe just because they figure they can afford it now. So as a result, they're using more energy.
Well, that's exactly, and I'm sure, Sarah, you've got some of your friends' houses. You go in and place like a sauna and you go to your friend's house and it's a bit chilly, not to be not nice about it. So that has a significant impact on how the home performs. So that on that basis alone, it's very difficult to say specifically at the other end what exactly it'll save you, but it's a much wider piece than saving. And what we're saying is it makes your home more comfortable. The environment of the home is better. It adds value to your home in terms of price and sale price. And also you're doing the right thing for the environment.
Another person says, if Minister Ryan is serious, I know you're not Minister Ryan, but just I think this point also applies to yourself, Kieran. If Minister Ryan is serious about retrofitting, why does he not introduce free assessments instead of asking people who are already stretched to fork out anything up to €1,000 to have their homes assessed? That comes from John. Is that what it costs to have your home assessed, roughly?
No, it's not as dear as that. And the home energy assessment can be a significant amount of money in terms of over €500. But that is a full and complete technical assessment, an engineering assessment of the energy performance of your home. The BER assessment, the initial BER assessment, typically trades around anywhere between €200 and €350, and we have a €50 grant. You're right, I'm not Minister Ryan, so I can't answer for him on that one. But there is a general truism in life that anything that's free isn't valued. And I'm not suggesting that's the route, and we certainly are looking at ways to animate and grow. You talked to me earlier on in the interview about growing 500,000 B2s, and we're looking at ways of how we can keep the pipeline growing, keep the schemes growing. We're certainly looking at that. Not suggesting we'll have free BERs, but I am suggesting that we're looking at it, at how we grow the schemes.
All right. Kieran, you've been very helpful, and thank you very much for all that information. That is Dr. Kieran Byrne, who's the Director of National Retrofit at the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland.